Before the world was made, before you spoke it to me, you were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were, and you were, and now you're reigning still, and you're above all things. Angels and saints cry out, we join them as we sing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Your wonderful name, Jesus. Name above all names. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I know there is peace.
Father, we do speak that in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, over every mountain in our life, over every giant in our life, over every obstacle in our life, we speak the name of Jesus. Father, that and we would pray that those mountains be removed, but if they don't, then in the name of Jesus, you will give us grace. Father, we thank you for the wonderful grace that we have. We believe you, we trust you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord.
Pen, if you want to fill in the blanks. The five-minute foundation today is on spending personal time with God. And the key verse here is Ephesians 1:17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. When we think about wisdom in this verse, we think about practical, workable principles. And revelation, both of these things come from the Holy Spirit. Revelation, a perception, and understanding. So when we sit down to spend time with God, we are asking the Father for the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. God desires a personal relationship is the word that goes into that blank. God desires a personal relationship with each one of his children. And this requires spending personal time with God, sometimes called devotions or devotionals. Relationship, personal time, and devotions. There are three components for spending time with God. Oh, not three. I don't know why I read that word acts as three. just above it. The three basic components of a devotional time is the word, worship, and prayer. And we have the acronym ACTS. The ACTS model for spending time with God is A, stands for adoration, C, for confession, T, for thanksgiving, and S, supplications, asking for self and others. A is adoration, C is confession, T is thanksgiving, and the fourth one is others. So how long, and I'm sure you've asked yourself this, how long should my devotional time be? And the answer is until you're done, until you're finished, because for each one of us it may be a little bit different. So we invite you to spend personal time with God, and that's number five of our five-minute foundations.
Most of you don't miss a meal very often, do you? So why would you fast from the Word and the presence of God? You don't want to starve your spirit. That was such a foundational teaching, and that's why we call it a foundational teaching. We're going to celebrate communion today, and you'll notice that many times today we sang about the name of Jesus. That wonderful name above all names. But the reason that that name is so wonderful is because Jesus was willing to endure the cross. It says, who for the joy set before him, that's us, he endured the cross, despising the shame. We're going to celebrate communion in just a moment. But remember that Jesus took the sin of the world on his shoulders so that we could call on his mighty name, his wonderful and mighty name that is above all names. And as we were worshiping today, I meant that very literally as I kind of prayed, but I felt it was a prophetic prayer. Speak Jesus over every mountain in your life. Speak Jesus over every giant that tries to taunt you. And speak Jesus at every obstacle that comes against you. If you will do that, I cannot promise you that the mountain or the obstacle will go away. Sometimes they do. Sometimes God takes them away. But he will always give grace to face whatever you have to walk through in your life. There will be that grace in the mighty name of Jesus, and it's because he endured the cross. I'd like to invite you to come forward this morning and take the communion elements, and then if you would hold them, we will partake of them together. So come now, please, if you would. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death
until he comes. Let's partake together. Father, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you for the broken body, Lord, that you gave willingly for us so that we could stand in your righteousness and we could walk in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for it. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I am delighted to be able to introduce our brother Roscoe Snell today. He is back here in the States, but leaving soon, correct?
The 22nd.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You have a little window left.
Yeah.
But Roscoe, come on up, and I will let him share. He is ministering in a lot of places.
Thank you. Okay, good morning. It's good to be here in Wellsville, and suddenly my throat is acting up, but I have very fond memories of Wellsville. Back in 1973, I was involved with a youth ministry here in Wellsville through which I found Jesus. And so, and then after that, started working at Penn York Camp in Ulysses. So, Wellsville has always been like my second home, and I just really, really love Wellsville. For the last 15 years, I have been in Asia. And I'll give you, I'm actually working right now in three different countries, and if I try to talk about all three countries, it might be confusing. So I'm going to devote most of my time to Thailand today. But I do want to bring you up to date on what's happening in China. As many of you know, I was in China for 10 years before COVID hit, and then I was advised to go home by the Chinese police. And so I came home for a little bit. And right now the relationship between China and the United States is not very good. And I have made trips into China where different areas of China, there may be different rules. I'm kind of, where I worked before was a very sensitive area in China because of the minority people. But it was, some hotels would not even accept me because I was an American, okay? I was not able to use my cell phone because I wasn't able to get a SIM card for my phone in China. When I went in for one, they said, oh yes, we can help you, we need to see your passport. They see United States on it. No, we can't give you a SIM card. So, some of the people that on my first trip that I wanted to see sent messages through a third party that we're being watched, there's surveillance, so please don't try to see us because it will put you in danger. It would have also put them in danger. So what I am doing now is I am making three trips a year into China and for a few weeks at a time and working with underground church pastors. I'm also working with some of the leaders and some of the believers that I worked with in the underground church. But the really wonderful thing that God has done is that I am able to teach these pastors who have very little Bible training, these underground church pastors and home church pastors, I'm able to teach them online, and we've been doing it for almost 2 years now. We have figured out a way to do it. So far, nobody has had any trouble. The Chinese government has not shut us down. We're like super safe. So I still stay in touch with those people, and that's a huge blessing because they're like family to me. The other thing that happened, which is very strange, is I am working with you have to think about this one. Chinese missionaries who are in Myanmar. And I was contacted through friends of mine in China. They said, you need to meet these people. They're looking for somebody, and they're really interested in what you're doing. So what I do 3 times a week is online, I'm teaching Chinese missionaries who are in Myanmar. I'm teaching them Bible and language together. I can teach English and use the Bible to do that. Why would they need to know English? Well, Myanmar is in the middle of a civil war right now. And there's a lot of international workers that are allowed into Myanmar, like the UN or some other people that are there. The common language is English. So for them to be able to communicate, they have to know English. Chinese is not the common language in Myanmar or the rest of the world. The civil war that is going on right now, the military is in charge of the government. The military is being supported by the Chinese government. Okay, makes it very difficult for me to go into Myanmar, maybe even unsafe, but I may try in the next year if the opportunity arises and the State Department says it's okay for me to go. But because China is supporting this military government, Chinese citizens can travel freely into Myanmar, back and forth. So here come the Chinese Christian missionaries into Myanmar. It's really the only good thing that has come out of this. The civil war in Myanmar, you can be praying about that. Just last week, some of the missionaries that I work with had to be evacuated, and the school they were working with suspended classes because the fighting had become so intense in Myanmar. So be praying for them. But this is a door that God has opened. Now in Thailand, in northern Thailand, I work mainly with 3 different cultures, Chinese, Burmese, and Thai people. Okay, there are many good missionaries in Thailand, but very few of them speak Chinese. And there's a lot of Chinese in northern Thailand. And so this is kind of the area that I've been working in. Okay, I'm going to see if I can get this to work. I'm supposed to aim it toward this person. Oh, it's fine. Okay, it is going. Okay, I'm giving it away. Okay. I was looking at this back one here, and it's not moving. Okay, I am a nerd, and I'm a history buff. Okay, who can tell me what eventful thing happened on September 5th, 1961? It was my first day at kindergarten. Okay, public school 45 in Buffalo, New York. Let's see, room 104, Mrs. Bennett's class. I got a ride on the buckboard with Charles and Carolyn Ingalls. They were taking Mary and Laura to school. Little House on the Prairie fans, there you go. Carrie wasn't old enough to go to school at that point. But no, it was my first day at kindergarten. And I remember the very first thing, and I kind of gave it away, the very first thing that I learned was during roll call. Now back then, for some reason, they read all the girls' names first, and then they read all the boys' names. So they get to John, Robert, Larry, Michael, Roscoe. And all of a sudden, there's giggles. And then this kid named Brian comes across, he says, Roscoe. So I didn't realize that I have a strange name. I didn't know that. You see, my father's name was Roscoe. My grandfather's name was Roscoe. I never met him. He died before my parents were married. But I had a strange name. It was the first thing I learned, and I ended up hating my name. I was like, I wanted a name like Jonathan or Daniel or David or something, you know, not Roscoe. But as I got older, I began to like my name because there was no confusion. Like in school, you know, Terry Jones and Michael Smith and Roscoe, you can be in this group. You see, I could go by one name. I was like Adele or Cher or Fabio or Elvis. Those of you who know Pastor Jeff at Pioneer, he hates Elvis, so I put that in there for him. But there was no confusion. Now, I think one of the funnier stories, I have friends, missionaries in Brazil, and they had a short-term team with them, and one day they got together for dinner, and my friend says to his wife, "Did we get any letters or emails today?" And his wife says, "Oh yeah, we got an email from Roscoe." And this visiting team says, "Roscoe? You know Roscoe?" So that was kind of fun. But the guy we're going to talk about today has the opposite problem, Zechariah. Okay? Last weekend I spoke at three churches, and two of them says when I said, "Who is Zechariah?" "Oh, he was the wee little man that climbed in the tree." No. That's Zacchaeus. One of them was the pastor. So, yeah. Yeah, I said, no. You got your Z's confused here. Okay, Zechariah. If I say Zechariah, who do you think of in the Bible? Crickets. Okay. Okay, a lot of people think of John the Baptist's father as Zechariah. Okay? And this Zechariah, the one I'm going to tell you about today, I really love him. I think when I get to heaven, after Jesus and that, I want to meet Zechariah, okay? Because Zechariah is such a great character. But if you look, and I didn't look in the Bible, but I looked on the internet, and we know everything on the internet is true, right? Sarcasm, okay? There's somewhere between 12 to 29 different Zecharias in the Bible. Okay, there's the father of John the Baptist, was Zechariah. There was a king of Israel. He was only king for 6 months, so probably not a very good king, named Zechariah. There was a son of a high priest, the chief of the tribe of Reuben, a Levite who assisted David in returning the ark, a teacher in the time of the law of Jehoshaphat, a son of Asaph, a chief in the time of Ezra, a prophet that was killed in the temple that Jesus mentioned. There was one of the porters in the tabernacle, a Korathite Levite, a Merathite Levite, a father of Iddo, and one of Jehoshaphat's sons were all named Zechariah. There were a lot of Zechariahs in the Bible. But the Zechariah I want to talk about today is the prophet who wrote the book of Zechariah. Okay? It's the largest of all the minor prophets. And of all the minor prophets, it has the greatest number of prophecies about Jesus' first coming and second coming. Okay? It's second only to Isaiah in prophecy. And Isaiah is a very long book. The other thing is that if you look at the prophecy about Palm Sunday in Zechariah, it's amazing. It's like he was there, you know. Of course, you know, God gave him what to write, but it's amazing. And Zechariah is quoted 41 times in the New Testament. Okay, it's quoted a lot. Now, Zechariah's name means Yahweh has remembered, or God has remembered. Okay, that's what it means. And Zechariah was born in Babylon during the time of exile, and then he was allowed to come back to Jerusalem when the people returned. He would have been a contemporary of the prophet Haggai, or Haggai, depending on how you pronounce the name. But Haggai would have been a much older man. He was actually born in Jerusalem, went through the exile, which was 70 years long, and then was allowed to return. As I said, Zechariah was born during the exile and was allowed to return. Zechariah was a priest and a prophet. And this is why I really like this guy. He's known as the prophet of encouragement. Okay, I love positive people. I love being around encouraging people. Because I have a tendency to kind of go, you know, a little negative at times. This guy was a prophet of encouragement. Now, Jeremiah, do you know what his name was, his nickname? He was the weeping prophet, okay? Jeremiah, and if you look at the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is warning Judah, who just saw what happened to Israel. They were destroyed because they turned away from God. They were scattered throughout the whole area. Judah didn't learn from that lesson. And Jeremiah kept saying, turn back to me, turn back to me. If you don't, this is going to happen. He said this repeatedly, and the people did not. So, yeah, I understand why this made, you know, Jeremiah known as the weeping prophet. But a prophet of encouragement. Why was he the prophet of encouragement? Well, he pointed to the future and God's promises for the future. He encouraged the people to have spiritual renewal, and he also encouraged them to rebuild the temple. A lot of the writings of Zechariah are similar to that in Revelation and in Daniel. But Zechariah had a very positive message, but at a very negative time in Israel or the history of the Jewish people. Okay? The bit of the background. Because the Jewish people turned away from God, and they were warned of this repeatedly, that they spent 70 years in exile in Babylon. 70 years. I mean, this wasn't a short camping trip. This was 70 years. And I believe it was Jeremiah and some of the other prophets said, you're going to be there a long time, so get involved. You know, plant crops, do this, do that, because you know, you're going to be there a while. And, Zechariah was reminding them that God promised that they would return after 70 years and he would build them into a great nation. Now, the problems the Jewish people faced were this. They were not a threat to Babylon or the next kingdom that came along, Persia. They were not a threat to them at all. Okay, they had no power, no authority, no nothing. Okay? God used a pagan king, Cyrus, to allow them to come back. Why did he, you know, why was Cyrus so moved? Well, Isaiah, about 150 years before Cyrus was even born, he was mentioned by name. And so when Cyrus saw this, he was like, wow, this is great. I'll do this. So he actually, you know, allowed them to come back. And I believe it was three groups over a period of time. He kind of financed and protected them, you know. So Israel had no power of their own. There was no army. They didn't have any money. Their cities. And by the way, this is the city wall in Chiang Mai. That's one of the gates, the ancient city wall. Their city walls were totally destroyed. They were exposed, basically, to their enemies. Their temple had been destroyed, and they had been out of their culture and many of their religious practices. They had been out of that for 70 years. Now, as I said, I've been out of America basically for 15 years. America has changed a lot in 15 years. Okay? Sometimes when I come back, I don't feel quite at home in America. I feel at home here, but some things about America, I don't feel at home. And some things I don't recognize. Even some of the conversations, I don't recognize. Even though I keep up on the news and things like that. But can you imagine being out of your culture for 70 years and then being allowed to come back? But as I said, Zechariah has a very positive message, but the circumstances look bleak. So the word of the Lord and what they were seeing seemed to be opposites. But I want to read a couple a couple verses to you. Okay, prophet of encouragement. I'm not doing a good job at this. A difficult message at a difficult time. Okay, great. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is what Zechariah says. Therefore tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. If you turn to me, I will forgive and restore, is basically what God is saying to the people through Zechariah. You see, the Lord is showing his unconditional love to the people. This reminds me so much of the prodigal. When the prodigal son came to his senses, he turned to his father, but the father was already coming toward him. Okay, this is what Zechariah is saying. Get close to God, and God will get close to you. Okay? The next one, and this is out of Zechariah 8, it says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Now hear these words, let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. This is also what the prophets said who were present when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty. Now what does this have to, what is this actually saying, and what maybe how does it relate to us? What Zechariah is saying is be involved in the things that God is doing. God wants to rebuild the temple. Get involved and do it. Okay? So he tells them to return to God and be involved in the things that God is doing, such as building the temple. And, you know, many of the people were probably thinking as they're listening to Zechariah, you know, how can this be? You know, this doesn't make any sense. Look at our situation. And then I love this verse from Zechariah. He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now, Zerubbabel was their Kathy Hochul. He was their governor. But Zerubbabel was a really good guy. I want to actually do a study on Zerubbabel. Okay? But anyway, he says this to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, it's not going to be because of the might of the Jewish people that he's going to build them into a great nation. It's not going to be because of their cleverness or their money or anything. It's going to be God that does it. It's going to be the Spirit of God that does it and the Spirit of God working through people to do it. Okay, return to me. Get involved in what God is doing, and God will do the work. You know, to me, there's no boasting. You know, many times we hear countries say, you know, like we have the Olympics coming up, I guess, in a few weeks, and it'd be like, oh, yes, we train so hard, and we have the best coaches, and America's the best. You know, that's boasting in our achievement. This, you know, when God does something, the only one we can boast about is him. Okay, he is the one that deserves the praise. He's the one that deserves the glory. We have to acknowledge him. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Zechariah was reminding the people of God's promises and of God's faithfulness and of God's unconditional love. Hope builds encouragement. You know, hope has kind of lost its meaning today. It kind of means like wish. You know, I hope we have pizza for lunch. Or I hope Roscoe is finished soon, you know. It means wish. But in the Bible, we're talking about hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. And the strength of hope is in the faithfulness of God. I'll say that one more time. Hope is the confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength, the strength of hope, is found in his faithfulness. Now, there are times when I'm in Thailand or in Asia that I get a little down or I get a little discouraged. Something isn't going right or it's not as easy as I thought it would be. And, you know, there's two things I do. I look at the statements or the quotes from other missionaries. Missionaries that have had it, much worse than I will ever have it. And their statements of hope and faith encourage me. But there are scriptures in the Bible, too, that are full of hope and encouragement. I wrote down, I probably have 20 here. I do have them on the table in the back if you want to pick them up on the way out. Because as I read the scriptures and I read God's promises and the hope that I have, it encourages my soul. I'll just share two of them with you. And they're both out of the book of Joshua. And they were spoken near the end of Joshua's life. In Joshua 21:45, he says this, "Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." Every one of God's promises were fulfilled. And then Joshua 23, and I believe this was the last, or it may have been one of the last things he said to the people. It says, "Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord gave you, the Lord your God gave you, has ever failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed." You know, Zechariah was talking about hope. And the situation looked bleak. And you might be thinking, you know, you might be thinking to yourself, what does this have to do with Thailand? Well, it has everything to do with Thailand. And you're going to see the nerd in me, because I like statistics, I like those types of things. These statistics are from Operation World. And you can get a book from Operation World, but what's even better is to get the app, because they update it all the time. And Operation World goes through every country in the world, what the conditions are, what the missionaries are facing, what's going on with the church. So let's look at this for Thailand. Christian missionaries have been in Thailand since 1550, the modern missionary movement. But yet, only 1.1% of the population are Christian. Okay, 0.5% are evangelical, and 85.3% are Buddhist. Now, this is the largest percentage of any country on earth. There's over 300,000 Buddhist monks in Thailand. And Muslims, there's about 5.3 million Muslims. You know, so 1550, the missionaries arrive. They start some of the first hospitals and schools. Some of those things are still going on today. But yet, we have such a small percentage that are Christian. The official language is Thai, but there's 85 different minority languages in Thailand. Okay? I'm learning Thai. It's language number 5. Okay, and you know, it's kind of, well, it's fun sometimes to learn Thai. Okay, but you know, there's so many different languages, and of the people groups, there's 114 different people groups in Thailand. 74 are listed as the least reached people on the earth. Okay, the next group of statistics. Okay, 43% said they've never heard the gospel, and 89% says the gospel does not make sense. Okay? Now, I kind of understand that after studying the language a little bit. I mean, we have many good Thai missionaries, many good missionaries in Thailand, but somehow we're missing it a little bit. I'll give you a couple examples. I'm teaching a Bible study, and the Thai word for angel is the same word as the Thai word for fairy. So in other words, Tinkerbell and Michael are called the same. So you know, that's a little confusing. You know, it kind of puts it in a fairy tale type of setting. I was teaching 1st and 2nd Peter just before I left, and it talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. It was God, obviously, but I didn't even think of it. I thought, oh, I'll bring in a picture of a cornerstone. When I brought it in, they looked at it and they said, now we understand that verse. You see, there's no cornerstones in Thai architecture. Yeah, but when I saw the picture, they said, oh, if you take the cornerstone out, those walls fall in. Exactly. So, yeah, there's some things culturally, also because they're raised Buddhist. It's very difficult to understand that grace is a free gift. You don't have to earn it. Or God's not going to love you better because you do this, this, and this. He already loves you. And yes, we do the things Jesus told us to do because we love Jesus and we want to share our faith and we want to share the love of God with other people. But we don't do it to better position ourselves with God, which is a lot of what happens with Buddhism. Okay, so many times Christianity is viewed as mainly a Western religion. The other thing is that Thailand has a huge problem with sex trade. Now, sex trade, and that I mean prostitution and human trafficking. Okay, they believe that 2.8 million Thai people are involved in some way in the sex industry, whether it be tourism or human trafficking. 10% of all tourist money that comes into Thailand is because of sex tourism, prostitution, and the like. 40,000 children are involved in the sex industry with human trafficking and prostitution of young people. And you can imagine that HIV and AIDS are the highest in Asia. Okay, there's over 700,000, I'm sorry, that's, yeah, that's right, 700,000 reported cases in Thailand. Now, there's many, many more cases that are not reported. And, you know, you might look at these statistics and say, you know, like as a missionary, if I just looked at it and think, how am I going to solve this on my own? It looks impossible. But remember what Zechariah said. It's not by power, but it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. But God. I want to show you some members of your Thai family, the Thai church that I work with. Okay, morning worship. Thai people are known as they're known as the land of smiles. Thai people smile all the time. You know, they're not cool like us Americans. You know, they smile. And I love it. I love when they smile. When they come to know Jesus and their worship is so joyful and they are so excited about their faith. On Sunday morning, we have probably about 200 on a Sunday. You know, it is amazing what God is doing. And most of these people, they were raised in Buddhism. They came out of Buddhism. We have people of all ages, but it's mainly a young church as far as their faith. Okay. Bible study. Okay, this group in the lower corner there, that's a Bible study that I co-teach on Tuesday. Those are people that gather before they go to work in the morning. They gather for Bible study. Okay, that's a teen group. They're hungry for God's word. There also are a lot of misunderstandings. With a young church, we need to get them to grow so they know the Bible well and so they can recognize false teaching. False teaching quite often will creep into the Thai church. They want to bring some of their old Buddhist things. Or they think because some white guy my age on the internet says something, that must be true. No. So I understand now how many times Paul and Peter and others that warned churches about false teaching because it creeps in so easily in the Thai church. So, you know, as they study the Bible, That one, that that bigger picture on there is the youth group from the church. Okay, that's part of that. But as they study the Word, they know what God's Word says. And they can then, you know, God can help them. This is true, this is not true. Baptism. We had 14 people baptized at our family camp, people of all ages. The Thai people baptize very interestingly. Okay. When we baptize, generally we're very gentle, like we lower the person down, roll them up. A Thai pastor will push him right in the water. First time I saw that, I went, oh! But that's what they do. So anyway, okay, online Bible study. I talked to you about doing Bible study in two other countries. That same organization came back to me and says, we love what you're doing with teaching English and the Bible together. Can we, and this will hopefully start in August, can we expand this to include our missionaries in Laos and our missionaries in Bangladesh? So I may be working with them in the future. So, there's a lot of negative things about computer. This online stuff, though, is very good for teaching. This is our Sunday, Easter Sunday service. Now, this was a true sunrise service. It started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you can see the turnout. They're very excited about their faith. And one of the things I am working on is that they're young Thai Christians, and we have to, I feel that God is asking us to go out and meet some of the needs that are in our community. Right now, they're not really doing that a great deal. But there's so many orphanages, there's so many people that are involved in the sex trade industry, there's older people and so forth, that where they could be ministering to them and sharing their faith on a regular basis. Okay, there's many problems in dealing with the young church. A lot of these I've already gone over with you already. We need to start with giving them very simple or milk teaching, but they're at a point where I'm going to try to push them into things that are a little meatier, such as sharing your faith with others and telling others what God has done, to recognize false teaching, and to look beyond that confusion between Buddhism and Christianity. Okay, I'm sorry, Buddhism and Christianity are like day and night, okay, as far as they're different from each other. Now, you might be asking yourself, you know, how does this relate to me? Well, as I mentioned earlier, America has changed a lot in the last 15 years. Okay, there's a lot of political, cultural division in our country. Okay, many times even Christianity is looked at as being behind the times or being narrow-minded or even worse, being bigoted. Okay, so it may be, you know, you may be thinking, you know, how can this nation or how can this community be turned around? Remember what Zechariah said, come near to me and I will come near to you. We need to be involved in the things that God is doing. Now, there's many good causes out there. There really are. But what is the mission of the church? The church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? I happen to do it in Asia, but that doesn't mean it can't happen outside the Texas Hot in Wellsville. Okay? And then remember this. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by God's Spirit. You know, I see this happening in the other countries I work in. I see this happening in Thailand. So, you know, what I want to leave you with today, be encouraged. Because, you know, if it was on my ability or my cleverness or that, you know, I fall flat on my face. It's God that does it. It's God that does it. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the group that is here this morning and for this church. And I thank you, Father God, that you have a plan and a purpose for them. And I pray, Father God, that some of these things seem very elementary, but, Father, they're so, so true. Father, we need to stay close to you. We need to come close to you, and you come close to us. Father, there's many things that you want to do, Father, in your church and in your community. Father, help us to be involved in the things that you are doing. I know that each of us may have an agenda for the day, but Father, help us to seek your agenda for each and every day, Lord God. Father, that we see your fingerprints on things, Father, and that should encourage us and to be involved and to do the things that you want to do. And I thank you, Father God, that even though the task may look big, like it did for Israel to be restored as a nation, like it does, Father, for the situation in Thailand, Father, that is so steeped in Buddhism and other things, America that many times looks so divided and going in the wrong direction. Father, we would just pray, Father God, that we would be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. Father, that your Spirit would work in our community and your Spirit would work in and through us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh.
Whenever we have a missionary here, I'd like to take the opportunity to pray for you. And so I invite any of you that are here, if you feel led to come up, if you would come and join me, and we're going to lay hands on our brother. And believe him for a breaking of the 1.1%.
Yeah.
And believe God to move. So come if you'd like to come and let's pray for our brother today. And go ahead and lead out as you feel led. Thank you, Father. Oh, wonderful Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. Father, I'm praying for a breakthrough in Thailand, Lord. A breaking of the demonic hold of Buddhism, Lord, over that country.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would so anoint this brother, Lord, that he would be like the snowplow that just clears all the stuff off the street, clears a clear path, Father, for the Word of God to come and invade, Lord, and I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that you would do a mighty work, Lord, in that country. Father, I pray you would expand, Lord, even as Roscoe shared about expanding his ministry there and teaching the Bible and teaching English. Father, we pray that you would continue to open up effective doors to him, Father. Open up effective ways, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just manifest more and more creative ways, Father, that would reach the Thai people. And Lord, for his contacts in China, Myanmar, Lord, all of those places, God, we pray for an abundance of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, Lord. Oh, God, let it bear fruit. I pray that it would so inspire the people that he ministers to online, that they would run out and be able to share the gospel with others, Father, that there would be a real reproduction, Lord, happening through all of that. In Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for the word delivered to us today. I would encourage us right here where we live. Lord, we thank you that this word has come forth from the very experience of ministry.